welcome to Movie Banter.
I'm John Sands.
I'm Paul Carenza. And Jen's not here.
No. So, we could do a bad impression.
We've done that before.
Yeah, we've done that before.
Well, we could leave a gap, and then you, the listener, you can be Jen this week.
That's true.
And so we'll every minute we'll leave a gap of about... How long are we going to speak for? About two seconds.
A second at most.
A second per episode. Yeah. So this is your chance to be Jen's contribution. Go. Brilliant. Well done, Jen. That was good.
Thank you very much.
We'll
mock you as well.
Exactly.
During the,
you're rubbish.
Exactly.
Yeah, you listener.
See, it just feels a bit mean spirited.
You listen to your ways, your ears. Don't know anything else about them. But they've probably got ears.
Well, that's a bit of an assumption.
We haven't got a subtitle version of this yet.
No. So, we might get an email in from someone with no ears, but then, of course, how would they know?
Very true.
Well, yeah. But they could still hear if they had no ears.
Well, you can still you can still hear without ears, can't
unless
you?
Unless you, like, folds in on it.
There was a thing on TV last week. There was a fellow who had, I think he had a facial burn.
Was it a Channel 5 documentary called The Man With No Ears?
It was
a
Channel 4
like
documentary called Beauty and the Beast. Which is, the theme is that they take someone who is obsessed with their looks and they take someone who has had some facial disfigurement type thing and make them live together for a fortnight and see how much they hate each other.
Oh, fair enough.
And,
and that's where Jenny's making the sequel to
that. Exactly. Is she Beauty or the Beast? That's the question.
No, she's the Beast.
Oh, she's the Beast,
of course.
Good. So
we found a way
to crowbar in.
If we just come out with insults, then it's a bit insulting. But if we sort of lead into, then it's fine.
It'll teach her not to turn up.
She'll never hear it.
No, she'll never hear
it. We can say whatever we want.
Exactly. We can and we will. So, welcome to the episode 89, we think.
89, yes.
89.
There it is.
Wow.
So now we're getting into sort of film year territory. I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, good classic.
So we can just call it episode the best films of 1989.
Yeah, we're running out of steam, to be honest, in terms of film.
All right, I think last week, 88 miles per hour, and it's not a film title, but definitely counts, because that is a number that is key in film history.
Very early on, we had non-film titles as well.
We had 007, I think, at one point, didn't we?
So we tweaked it a bit. We might just start adapting.
Episode number Johnny 5, that's right.
Oh, yes. So we tweak it.
Yeah, exactly. It's our rules.
Yes.
Yeah.
Only like 2.5 years ago now. That's quite scary.
It's a long time, isn't it? It's a long time. About due to stop, I think, aren't we?
I think so.
Should we stop?
We could just...
Like, right now. Not even finish the episode.
It's a four-minute podcast.
This is it.
Four-minute podcast. We come on, say hello, insult Jenny, and then never do it.
What a way to finish. We'll continue for the moment, but...
we might give up.
We might give up. Depends if you email us in or not.
Well, that's very
true,
yes.
Send emails, podcast@moviebanter.co.uk. Show us some love.
Well, yes, because we tend to get emails from the same people, and it's very nice to get emails from the same people. But if you are not one of the same people, and you want to contribute something, just let us know what films you've watched or anything else.
The thing is, I stayed with some friends in Nottingham this week, and they happened to mention that they'd something from an episode. And I thought, how did you know about that? And they said, we heard the episode. I thought, but no. So when we say email in, you just ignore us. You sit there, the silent majority.
But you could know that they exist.
It's good to know that they exist.
But make yourselves the vocal majority.
Exactly.
Because we'll read out any old drivel.
Yeah, exactly.
We've demonstrated on many occasions.
Speaking of which, we've had an email.
That's a bit harsh.
We'll
read it. If you send in something interesting, we'll read it out.
We've had some emails which we'll come to later. And we will also be covering on this episode the Oscars. Looking a little bit at the Oscars ceremony. And not the results particularly, because everyone knows King's Speech won. Everyone else was rubbish. But...
Inception got lots of technical
look
things.
Look at your technical things for that. Well done, them. But a bit about the hostings and all that sort of the ceremony itself.
Yes.
We'll also cover
Battle Los Angeles,
which is a bit like the Oscars, really, isn't it? The Oscar ceremony is Battle Los Angeles.
Well, that's very true.
In many respects.
Yes. Yeah. Natalie Portman playing the role of Aaron Eckhart.
Is that right?
With an enormous chin dimple.
Wow.
She is strapped on a helmet and dove in.
Which
in her condition is not necessarily good.
Of course, it's not so good because she's, you know. With Monster.
there speaks in new parent.
I speak as a parent. And so we'll do that. We'll do Rango as well.
Yes.
And Desert Island Fix we'll do, which will be best Johnny Depp film.
Yes. Because so it's relatively one. Slim pickings at the cinema at the moment.
It's not much out there, is it? Post-Oscars, isn't it?
Post-Oscars. And it's, action season hasn't quite, or summer season hasn't quite wrapped up yet.
It's always a bit bleak.
Give it a few weeks and it should start improving. Yeah. But
right now...
But we've seen things. And we'll talk about those things.
Exactly.
You know how it works. Exactly. Yes, but Oscars.
Yeah, Oscars. Yes. Oscar night. Oscar night.
I've actually got to believe I managed to watch this for the first time in many years because it's on in the UK. It's only on Sky Premier, which I don't have.
Which I don't
can't
have.
Get
it annoyed me
because I'm in a flat. But it turns out there are websites which stream it.
That's good.
Due to people who are watching it and stream it, which might be sort of illegal, but surely it's up to the website streaming it to stop doing it, which did happen a couple of times.
Well, equally, I pleaded with people on Twitter and Facebook. Anyone know anywhere I can watch? Because normally, the thing is, like about five years ago, I'm sure the BBC used to show it on
BBC
One.
When I was living at my parents' house, like 10 years ago, I watched it on BBC.
And then they moved it onto Sky, but then BBC One showed the highlights the next night for about an hour. Which is fine, because highlights is all you sort of need.
Yeah.
And then they stopped doing that, but then they just show it on the news a bit, that sort of thing. And then they don't. And it used to be as well that the next day you could go onto the Sky, onto the Oscars website, and you could
see
the winner's speeches. And you can't even do that now. Oscars website, you'd have thought if anywhere's going to have it. And in fact, the day, even like 2 days after the Oscars, Oscar.com, you go there. And it doesn't even acknowledge the Oscars have happened. It says, coming up tonight on the... It's like, basically, the website management people, once the Oscars happened, got drunk.
Yeah.
And just thought, well, it's it for another year. Don't need to update it. No one's going to check in. Who would check in the next day to see the results?
Exactly.
Who would do that?
No, because everyone would be glued to
They've seen it.
Well. Stupid thing is, as well, I looked at the ABC website, and it said, tune in, you can register and watch it now. And then I registered. It said, oh, no, you can't watch it in your country. But then I'm vaguely technical, and there are ways around that. So pretended I was in the US.
So you bought some plane
flight
tickets.
No, but pretended I was, because you can go through other websites.
Ah,
then.
I see. That's good.
And so I found a way to watch it. I thought, brilliant, okay, I'll just turn on. So went to the ABC website, clicked the most obvious Oscar link video. So, you can choose from all these cameras. So picked one, and because none of them looked really obvious. Saw two people chatting for a bit. And I thought, okay, obviously it hasn't started yet. They'll cut away in a second. And then they suddenly went, right now, the Oscars has officially begun. And basically, we're just here talking about it instead. Oh, no, I've missed it. So you're not. So on the website, which they said, just watch the telecast, you couldn't, actually.
No, you can see some people talking.
You could see cameras. You could start to see a shot of the reaction of the audience, but couldn't actually see anything worthwhile. It was very bizarre.
It's very bizarre. Oscars have really got to butt their ideas up, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yes. I'm amazed you can't stream it online.
No. And eventually, I had to find it from some nefarious means about 3 days later. And I did watch it in its entirety, but about 3 days later, when I'd sort of heard who won everything, so... Yeah. Kind of ruined it.
Yes, but actually being able to watch it, because I'm a ridiculously late night person, being able to watch it and be on Twitter about it at the same time was quite interesting.
That's always interesting.
Because it also, not least, it also showed the delay of what I was watching.
Ah, yes.
Because it would suddenly go, oh, Natalie Portman won, and then about 30 seconds later, I'd see her name read out.
Ah.
But it was alright. Yeah. But it's good to see various comics reactions and just commenting on people acting stupidly and doing stupid things, including James Franco, who did. I like James Franco, but he seemed quite asleep.
He looked. I thought this year's ceremony, the hosting of it, I just was totally wrong.
I can't remember actually, because I haven't reread the emails. It's either someone emailed in mentioning this, or I read it online, but it seemed to be the perfect summary of them.
Right.
And James Franco looked like, or Anne Hathaway looked like someone who'd won a competition.
Oh yeah.
And James Franco looked like someone who'd lost a bet.
I put on Twitter.
Was it you?
I think I put that.
Oh,
yeah, I did put that. That's my word. There you go. Good. It's good to know it's gone around the internet and come back to you again. Yeah, I was thinking that sounds. I tweeted that. She did look so gleefully. And just the fact that every time she would introduce someone, you know, a Hollywood actor who'd come on and present an award.
Yeah.
And then she was the only person, everyone else would go, Tom Hanks, very good. And she'd go, woo! Yes! Can you believe it? It's actually Tom Hanks. And you thought, you've worked with these people all the time. Don't be impressed. You know. And then James Franco just walks on, just hands in his pockets, going, wow.
Still tweeting as he walks out on stage.
We're all here still, you know, just about.
I found that quite entertaining in a way, because I feel it was deliberate. Or he might just have been stoned.
It just looked like they were both from different presenting schools, really. Yeah. And it just, given that as well, they were trying, I mean, they made a joke of it, the fact that this meant to be the young, hot, sort of, you know, the sexy young Oscars compared with Steve Martin, Alec Baldwin type of things. But it just made me think, oh, they were good.
Yeah,
they could
be, not...
And particularly Billy Crystal came on.
Yes.
He got a standing ovation. Yeah. Everyone's going, you know how to present Oscars.
Well, I think it's not appealing to a young audience. I'd like to think that most people wouldn't. If Billy Crystal was great, wouldn't you? Who's Billy Crystal? Mm. They'd give it 5 minutes, and as soon as he was funny,
he was funny straight away. You know, I think it's something about we're running over, so the nominations for Best Picture are, and you can tell there's got a few people worried that they haven't done my own. Where's my category? But he was very good. He was very, very good.
And it's not that Anne Hathaway and James Franco weren't, they weren't great, but they were fine.
Mm.
But they didn't reach the levels that you know can be reached with someone better.
No, exactly.
And also, I think someone, again, I'm hoping it wasn't you now, but someone on, I think it might have been, not Morning Glow, Film Drunk, Film Blog, were saying that the people were sort of saying, no, it was all dull and they, you know, it was all a bit stilted and weird references, as if that's anything new. And the Oscars is normally like that. Mm. You normally get these weird self-congratulatory things going on.
Yeah.
So you need someone who can skewer it slightly. And I think they weren't skewering it enough.
No.
They were partisan. Which I think Jon Stewart was very good, but he skewered it maybe too much for a lot of people.
I blame Ricky Gervais. He did the Golden Globe so much the other extreme that I reckon Hathaway and Franco thought we better play it completely and just, safe and not insult anyone. Which, but apart from Charlie Sheen.
Well, yes.
Shall we have a quick look at... Jed emailed in with his thoughts on it, and he said, for example, 83rd Academy Award ceremony mixes old school with too cool for school. An overly jumpy girl with too sleepy guy. Well, that sounds about right. Anne Hathaway, James Franco, both extremely likeable, can match each other in comic timing and pulchritude. Now, that's beauty, isn't it, I believe?
Is it?
I think it is.
I don't know.
I think it is.
It's clearly not vocabulary skills.
It's very good. However, it was plain to see that Hathaway's hyperactive antics were compensating for Franco's. For Franco's, I'd rather cut off my own arm demeanour that couldn't help but leak through sometimes.
Except he clearly agreed to do it.
Well, yeah. I guess so. I mean, it's odd that they did look like they were just roped in last minute. It did look like they sort of just turned up.
Well, yeah. You know, but then in the preview video thing they did, of the two of them sort of pretending to rehearse.
Yes,
He looked quite good and seemed to be quite getting into it. I think he enjoys sort of performance, but not hosting.
Yeah.
Hathaway can do the hosting.
Yeah. I just thought as well that, I mean, the very first, it was about 10 minutes long, that thing, the spoof video thing, which Billy Crystal sort of cemented years ago, and it was them doing their version of it. And I just sort of felt that, I don't know, it looked like, well, I suppose they're playing to the strengths. They're actors, they're not comedians. Mm. So they thought, rather than do a big opening monologue thing like Billy Crystal would, or even Hugh Jackman, I think, did a similar sort of thing.
Yeah, no, didn't he do a song and dance?
He did a song and dance thing, yeah, but they're not, their gift isn't in live stuff. They can film stuff and look pretty. And so they put them in Inception and all the, they worked okay.
I did actually like the Inception thing. When the world starts exploding and Anne Hathaway's getting really freaked out and James Franco just sitting there with his arms crossed. Come on, just show me one thing. It's like the world explodes.
Yeah, that was
one,
pretty good.
One thing that makes it a dream.
Being stuck in Alec Baldwin's mind sort of thing. Yes. It was all quite good, but it did... It went on quite a while. It's like 10, 15 minutes of it. And you think, this ceremony is going to last 5 hours anyway. Yeah. You might want to trim that to just 5 or 10.
Yes.
And then crack on, I would.
But, stick to the best.
But yeah, but never mind. Jed says, the jaded would bemoan the packaged and manufactured nature of the evening's proceedings, with Celine Dion singing Chaplin's Smile for the emotional In Memoriam segment. That does indeed prove enough, I think.
Yeah.
He said, Jed really enjoyed the ceremony. He said, mostly because it wasn't so much a ceremony as a college reunion of sorts. Nods were given to the old as glances thrown forwards to the new, and actually, I didn't find one moment boring. I found a lot of moments boring. A lot of it boring.
And the In Memoriam stuff was good. Was it Corey Haim or Corey Feldman who died and didn't get an acknowledgement?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Which prompted an outpouring on Twitter when it came to the end and he wasn't mentioned. Why wasn't he mentioned?
What happened?
Which was a bit harsh.
Yeah.
But I think some people are always left out.
Pete Postlethwaite was mentioned, wasn't he?
Yes,
he was.
Yeah, actually saw him in a trailer for something last night. Some British film. Oh, it's sort of like about U2, but not U2.
Oh, right.
I can't remember what it's called now. But it's about, they said it's the semi-true story. I think it's about an Irish band who started about the same time as U2, but are always just behind them. And then I think one of them gets there's two brothers in the band, and one of them gets the offer to join U2. And his brother says, no, we're going to stick with the group. And so he doesn't, and then they sort of watch U2 become stratospheric while they go along in the medium.
Oh, okay, I've heard of that.
No, I haven't heard it at all. It's got Ben Barnes in it.
Oh, right.
But looking very sort of bedraggled and long-haired and beardy. Mm. I can't think of the title, but I knew nothing about it before seeing this trailer last night. And Pete Postlethwaite.
Yeah, very good.
Turns up. Possibly his last film, I'm guessing.
Must be, I'd have thought.
I'd have assumed The Town was, but then he turned up in this. But,
yeah, of course, yeah. No, oh. Fair play. Well, yeah, should we get to a real review of a film?
Now
we've lambasted the Oscars.
Still at the Oscars, which was fine, but ultimately, no doubt audiences were down a bit again, as they always are. Possibly because no one can find out how to watch it.
Well, exactly. I know. At least people aren't going to, people who cannot watch it, find a way for us the next day to see a clip or two.
I think the ABC website saying, you can watch it from every angle. So no one can be bothered to do that. I would have thought most people, if you're at all interested, you just want to watch the people giving the speeches and what the results are.
I can watch it from any angle. Yeah. That's the thing. So ridiculous.
Shut your eyes and just imagine it.
And when I could see clips, like the BBC News said, you can see highlights of the Oscars. And I think I didn't want to see it because I wanted to see the whole thing. Mm. But eventually I thought, well, let's have a look at it then. And it was about a minute's worth on fashion and then about 7 seconds on, oh, and Colin Firth won a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not bothered about the fashion. I want films. This is films.
And I don't know if we're in the minority, because it always seems that, you know, live from the red carpet stuff is always huge and you can watch this. But then audience figures are always low. So I don't know if that's because they play up the fashion, but no one cares. Mm. Or if they're trying to play up the fashion more, because that's what more people care about.
I'd love to see an Oscars thing where they drop all of the fashion stuff. Just, they say there's no dress code. It's dress down. Dress code is no black tie.
Well, turn up
no
in some sort of 70s futuristic. Everyone has to come in silver cling film, just wearing the one-piece jumpsuit thing. And then everyone wears the same thing, and then see what happens.
Good, that'd be good. That'd be good.
It'd make the lighting a bit tricky.
That's very true.
One reflective mass in the auditorium.
That's very true, yeah. It might be quite good. They could solar power enough electricity. We could all watch the Oscars around.
Except it's all in the middle of the day. Is it in the middle of the day?
It's
afternoon,
isn't it?
They're all inside.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay,
outdoor solar panel. Yeah, we should move on.
We're going to build it from scratch, yes.
Anyway, Battle Los Angeles.
So, speaking of Los Angeles...
and destruction thereof.
And I haven't seen this, but you have.
Tell me
about it.
I'm going to fall into a trap of saying it's exactly what you expect it to be, sort of. In that, it's kind of a gritty... It's almost like Independence Day from the point of view of Marines on the ground.
Right.
Sort of. There's lots of Independence Day comparisons, which is slightly harsh, but also sort of justified in terms of the general idea of alien attack. Mm. But rather than... sort of one big, huge floating spaceship dominating everything. It's more just low-level troops come in and then fighting on the ground with Marines. And it's all told from the point of view of the Marines in a very sort of realistic style. And it does... I mean, the fact that it's aliens is almost semi-irrelevant-ish because it's all about the Marines' point of view and just you fighting these half-seen shapes. But, so, I mean, action-wise, it's all good and it's all there and it feels very gritty and quite adrenaline-filled. Dialogue and plot and character-wise, it's terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There is basically none of any sort. The characters are introduced very quickly at the start with literally just a caption underneath of what their name is. and just dropped into situations of, oh, so he's the sensitive one. Oh, he's the clever one. Oh. And he's a Nigerian doctor trying to get his citizenship. And he's the son of someone else. And he's got war memories. And it's just, it's kind of a... painting by numbers
frame
of characterising.
Yeah. Sort of thing, yeah.
And also, because there's quite a lot introduced, and I just found myself thinking, partly, I can't keep track of all the names anyway, because no one's saying the names, just a name appears. With helmets and everything on, they all look relatively similar. Mm. It's hard to really identify that, because they all get covered in grime, helmets, you know, uniform, everything. And also, you know that about half of them are going to die quite soon anyway, so you kind of think, okay, well, I won't bother. When later on, once half of them are dead, and we're left with six... Right. Which I just assumed would happen, and I'm not saying it does happen, but it basically does happen. You think, okay, I'll know the characters then, but by then you don't really care.
No.
Which doesn't mean it doesn't work on its own level, because if you want a... And it's not just all, you know, mad, shouty explosions, it's quite heavy on the mad, shouty explosions, but there is a degree of tension and sort of wandering house to house around buildings. And it all works on that level. You just need to accept that there's going to be no real plot beyond kill the aliens. And no real characterization beyond Marines shouting at each other. But for the sort of intense feeling of it all, it's actually quite good.
Okay.
So, yeah, you need to know that's what you're getting.
It's not Shakespeare.
No.
No.
But it's not even not Shakespeare in the way that, you know, Jason Statham is not Shakespeare. Mm. Because that's...
Is it sub Statham then, would you say?
No, it's not. It's just on a sort of different... Because the Statham films, you kind of know there's lots of action, but it doesn't even pretend... or you wouldn't assume there's dialogue, if that makes sense. Whereas this, you hope there would be a degree of characterization, but it's all such broad sweeps and lots of Marines shouting each other, the occasional moving speech, wannabe moving speech. And it's just quite cheesy, but not self-aware cheesy. Mm. It's just over-the-top cheesy. But so know that going in and make the decision to go and see it regardless, and you might well enjoy it.
Who's in it? Anyone we know?
Aaron Eckhart, primarily.
Okay.
And Michelle Rodriguez.
Okay.
And... Bridget Moynihan.
Oh, okay.
Only minimally.
Well, they got the A-list.
Sort of. Although Bridget Moynihan doesn't have much to do.
Okay.
Aaron Eckhart is a Marine with, you know, bad war memories, and is, you know, his just thrust into command of these people, and they don't quite trust him, but I'm sure they'll come to trust him.
So he's the war memories guy.
Yes. Yeah. So on that level, it's just a bit clunky.
There is there's a writing technique I've read about, which is quite a sort of first level, basic level of writing characters. Mm. But they say, have your characters, and then work out that person, have some adjectives ready.
Right.
And he's that and that, but he's that. So it's kind of two positives and a negative, or two negatives and a positive, or two things that complement and one that goes against.
Yeah.
So rather than, but this one's rather than, oh, she's that, but that, this one is, well, she's that.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's it.
He's that, and eventually dead. And then you move on to that.
Okay, fine.
Kind of.
So all you need to know.
Yeah, so it is, it's very broad sweep, and I wouldn't say the attempt at character is laughable, but it may work better in sort of America. Mm. Sort of hardened military loving people might just sort of take it all at face value. Mm. But I think the fact that it does take itself seriously, well, not necessarily too seriously, but there's minimal levity in it, possibly helps it to a degree, because it helps you commit to it a bit more. But it also hinders it, because it finds it harder to relate to. So that's a bit of a... Whereas Independence Day was silly, but kind of knew it was silly.
Yeah.
And also had Will Smith sort of charisma to hang it off, whereas Aaron Eckhart is more sort of a bit moping.
Yeah.
And there's not much banter between anyone. It's very much, go to that building, see if it's empty, kill who's in it, let's move on. But I did enjoy it, but I just feel you need to be aware that that's...
Can you imagine, are we going to have Battle New York now and Battle...
Possibly. You know? Yeah, it doesn't have the simple ending of, hooray, everything, yeah, we've saved the entire world that Independence Day does.
Right.
But it's not set up for a sequel, but it's a slightly more realistic panning out.
Okay.
Which I think it pervades the film. It is quite realistic, but as a result, it means you get lots of Marines running around not having a huge amount of banter and jokes between them all. It's all quite functional, which doesn't necessarily make for great hear audio or great viewing of dialogue, but the action scene's very well done.
Well, I might watch it once I've watched every other film that's ever been released.
No, I did enjoy it. For the experience of watching it, it feels like if you had a documentary crew watching a load of Marines attack some aliens, it feels like it would look like that,
okay.
Weirdly. But it's just the downtime of when they're all sort of moping and saying, oh, I've got trouble, I have a bad time in Iraq. Well, I don't trust you. Well, get yourself together, Marine.
You can't handle the truth.
Kind of, but nowhere near that level of awesomeness. But I did enjoy it. Just buy a beware.
Fair enough.
Of, yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, good. Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, sounds about right. Well, still to come. Rango. We'll do Rango, won't we?
After these messages.
After these messages. We should have some adverts, shouldn't we, really?
No one's offered to.
If anyone wants to sponsor us, give us some money and we'll read out whatever you tell us to read out.
Oh, that's dangerous.
That's not dangerous, I think.
It is 20p to, I don't know. Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll cut approaches and offers and we'll see. If you want to send us loads of pork pies or something, we'll plug your pork pies.
I'll be honest, given the
payment in kind.
Given the scarcity of emails, you send us anything, we'll just read it out. If you can disguise in your emails some product placement,
that's a good
then,
one.
Then we'll be interested to see if we get halfway through and suddenly go, hang on a second.
Hang on.
When you're there saying, I was watching a film the other day while wearing some Adidas shoes. The finest of shoes, that's Adidas shoes. Then we'll hang on a second.
I was driving to the cinema in the remarkably smooth journey provided by my BMW. Hang on
a second. This email's from Jeff Smith at BMW.com.
Not the Jeff Smith.
Not the Jeff Smith.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Even he listens. He doesn't.
That's always a sort of competition of sorts to get people to email in as well.
Yeah.
And just try and sneak stuff in for us to say.
Some product placement.
Yeah. Or just some innuendo, to be honest. Although, we'll probably find innuendo even if you don't write any.
That's very true.
A bit childish like that.
That's very true. Oh, that's right. Well, actually, because we last episode, we smuggled... There was a word.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember the word
was. Doolittle.
Doolittle, that's
right. I wasn't even aware of you doing it.
Who was it again?
I think it was Supertoy.
I think Supertoy wanted us to... Formerly Supertoys, now the single. Mm. Sadly, the other Supertoys have gone.
Well, he's the one and only.
The one and only.
He's a unique Supertoy.
Indeed, the only Supertoy there is. Asked us to smuggle the word Doolittle on. And if you go back and listen to the episode, you will hear the word Doolittle smuggled on somewhere.
Fair enough, which I wasn't aware of when you did it.
Smuggled it on, you see.
Because we'd finished recording, and I went, oh, I forgot to do that. And Paul went, no, I did it.
I asked him if there's any other requests, if anything he'd like me to do this episode. And he asked me if I would manage to press your nose.
No.
Just press your nose. Just going to press your nose.
No, he's trying to do it on it.
It doesn't really work if I say I'm going to do it. Otherwise,
well, yeah.
But how do you smuggle that on? How do I... I had to press Yornos and Genzos. Jen's not here and you won't let me.
Because it's weird, that's why. And also, to be honest, if you hadn't said that now, I could have just pretended and then I wouldn't have had to put up with you pressing my nose. But now,
can you
now,
just say
now
you've had it? Because he wouldn't.
Oh, no, Paul just pressed my
there
nose.
There you go, super toy. In your face. In your face
and
with
not,
your nose.
And not with his finger, which was quite disturbing.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I did it with Jen's finger, which I have in this lovely presentation box.
Exactly.
Available from all good Jen's finger shops. So.
Yes. Only eight available.
Exactly.
The thumbs are itchy.
Indeed.
Yeah. Jen won't be back.
Not in one piece. It's got weird now. Your emails. Let's do some emails. These are
cutting her up and selling her in boxes.
She should have turned up. If she turned up, we wouldn't have cut her up and sold her in boxes.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah. You get the toes, though. It's 2 for 1.
Is that right?
Yeah. Really? Well, they're only little.
So 2 for 1. So that's, yeah. Yes, there's 5.
Except her big toes, which are oddly huge for a girl.
We can cut those in 3.
Well, that's true.
It's down the middle. Or in, I don't know where you cut them, but
yeah. See, now it's getting weird. When you're working out how, just making a casual joke about chopping her fingers off, that's fine. When you start actually working out how you could probably
columns or rows,
it's like
a
serial killer math problem. Math. I've been reading too many American things. Maths.
Like super toys.
Exactly.
It's just super toy singular. Math singular. No, yes. It's math plural.
If you have a woman to cut up and you need to distribute her toes among 20 different people, how do you cut them? Oh yeah, it's just weird.
I think we've gone down more back to the movie. I think
well, yeah.
It's gone strange. So we have some non-product placement emails from you here, and they include this from Mark Loveday. Hello, Mark Loveday.
Hello.
He didn't say that. He just said hello. He says, save you time. I have worked out that it will take approximately 403,333 centuries, based on 2.5 podcasts a month, to be able to use the other famous number from Back to the Future. I think he lost me at the start of that sentence, but I presume what he's saying is that given that we title our episodes after film things,
yes,
he's saying that if we wanted to call an episode after last week's episode, 88 miles per hour,
yeah,
1.21 gigawatts, I'm assuming, is that the one? That's going to be
yes.
Probably the one. Then we'd have to wait 403,000. 333 yeah. Centuries. But given that at the start of the episode we threatened to stop after this one, we're probably not going to make it that far.
It's true. Well, I think we could carry on for the rest of our adult lives and we still wouldn't. We'd have to.
Wouldn't happen, would it?
Well, yeah, that's 400, so we'd need to do a lot more than. I can't work out that maths.
So, Mark, if you're listening.
If we did like one every 2 minutes, we might just about get it.
Just maybe. But if anyone's listening just for that golden moment that we get that far,
yeah.
Give up now.
No, yeah, maybe just write down. Not yeah, 1.21 gigawatts. And go, hey, I've seen that number.
There you go.
And that's all you need. Yeah. I think waiting for 121 is probably a better bet.
Well, yeah, 121 is more achievable.
Yes, is more doable.
More achievable.
Although that's still going to be a little way
a bit
away.
Wire, still.
Yeah, yeah. If we do.
We're now, 10 episodes off the big 100? We need to have a big party for 100, don't we, really?
Yeah.
We should invite some famous, like Spielberg and round and that. Like.
We should. Oh, good luck with that.
Just you know,
you've got your writing, your BBC contacts.
Steve Spielberg down the street.
Get someone famous in.
Do you reckon?
Probably. Get Lee Mack down.
Not to Guildford.
Get Miranda Hart in.
Well, we could go to them. Right, maybe. Yeah. We could do it live from BBC Television Centre.
the recording quality would probably be a lot better.
Probably than in your
office.
Yeah, maybe so. There's Comic Relief this week, incidentally, which Ooh. Is we've got our sketch from Miranda will be on.
Ooh.
10 o'clock BBC Two. Do tune in. If you're not in the UK, then you probably can't because we do it a bit like the Oscars here. So no one can ever see it.
No one knows how to watch it or where to watch it.
Exactly. Anyway, we've had an email also from Jed. Jed says, hello, Banter Crew. And he's mentioning, in fact, that he's just flown back from a family vacation in Japan.
That's suspicious timing, if you ask me.
2 days before the earthquake and tsunami occurred. So welcome back.
And yes, well, glad you're safe.
Glad you've made it. Yes. Glad you've made it. Also saying, Jed's saying that he watched The Truman Show a second time recently. Fantastic, fantastic film. Made me realise that Jenny looks somewhat like Natasha McElhone.
Mm.
Take it as a compliment. Or the fact that Natasha McElhone is older than Jen.
Not radically older than Jen, but fairly.
Old enough.
Yeah.
If Jen was here, we'd tease her at that. But she's
well,
not.
Yes, you would.
I don't think we can really better than cutting up her
sure
toes
we'd
as well.
You have to explain who Natasha McElhone is.
That's true.
Yeah. Which although she's in Californication at the moment, and it's very good in it. Being American.
That's very good. She's right in that. Because she's English.
I think she's English.
Scottish, probably, because of the Mac.
Well, that's not necessarily always the case.
It's not
always. My flatmate's surname is Macbeth, but he's not Scottish.
Ah, you said it! Yes. No! Hot potato!
He's haunted by a ghost of a man he killed about 10 years ago.
Is that right?
So, yeah. Swings around about. So comes with the name,
he's your flatmate, but you've also got a third flatmate called Banquo, who just appears occasionally.
Yeah. Now, it's not much like another TV show, which is Being Human, where they have a ghost as a flatmate. I digress. Yeah, this isn't TV banter. This is not.
Jed continues that saying, I'm interning.
You're just saying it the same way.
Interning at a local film magazine.
No, it's interning.
Interning.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, interning.
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 Interning at a local film magazine.
Magazine?
That is Scottish. Magazine. I've always loved... No one's listening anymore. Even our regular fans.
See, this is the point that Jenny has made, which is one of the many purposes that she serves, apart from just eye candy, is that she stops us going off like this. She tends to rein us in slightly. So, yeah, apologies.
This has probably been one of the worst podcasts ever for being that boring.
Well, no, it depends whether people listen for us or for the films.
I'd have stopped listening. Jed says, I've always loved writing reviews. This is something I love, something I hope will last. John, I know you probably felt the same way when Move Mistakes first started up.
True.
People demand if you had a real job.
I wish to point out people still do demand that, including exactly. My parents on a regular basis.
Yeah, we do. At the same time, just completed a stage play.
You can't talk. You stand on stage and talk.
Well, that's
people.
What Jed says next, you see. Jed says that he's just completed a stage play, also writing songs and lines for stand-up comedy. Yeah. Paul, thanks for inspiring me.
Don't have a real job.
Well, exactly.
So you just sit and write things for other people to say.
That's how we can do a podcast.
Well, that's true.
On a Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, that is true.
Jenny, I don't have anything to say about you other than you're really talented. You have great chemistry with John and Paul, which is why this makes this the most exciting podcast I listen to regularly.
Yeah, he hadn't heard this one yet.
And you're hot.
Oh, yeah, Daisy, yeah. He's not seen her in person, has he?
I may have stepped out of line there. That's his words, not mine.
Oh, I see.
We're able to say that this week because Jen's not here. And so, yes, I'm afraid your compliments fall on deaf ears.
Which she also has.
Which she also has.
She's riddled with so many medical
if
problems.
If anyone wants her ears, we can cut those. so thank you for your emails,
thank
Jed.
You very much,
we've had four emails from Jed in the last space of two podcasts.
That's 1 a week. It's all right.
1 a week, but it's 2 per podcast. So it's kind of like he listens to half the podcast and then thinks, I'll do an email about that. And then listens to the other half and goes,
it's in more
thoughts.
That's true.
Other thoughts. So thank you, Jed, for your emails.
Thank you very much.
And we shall now continue with Rango. Should we do Rango?
Yes.
Rango.
Which we've actually both seen. As opposed to Battle LA, when I'm just trying to persuade you to not see it.
I've just seen this at the parent and baby screening, the Guildford Odeon.
You haven't even got a baby. It's a bit weird.
It's a bit odd. Just go along to see the boobs. And I don't.
Yeah, no. Did Joseph enjoy it?
Joseph did. Well, he's meant to have slept at that time of day normally, and about a quarter of an hour in, he just woke up.
So could you just leave him in the car?
I could have done.
Yeah.
But I didn't. He was there and sat next to me. And a quarter of an hour, he just woke up and I thought, oh, he's going to cry and scream the place down now, because that's what generally happens with babies. But he didn't. He just sat there, thumb in mouth, and I turned to face the screen, and he enjoyed, about an hour, he just sat there watching it. And I thought, cool. When's the crying going to happen? This is good. I must get Rango on DVD and put it on all the time, because it clearly has some effect. So, but it was an odd one. It's an animated film, Johnny Depp as a lizard.
Yes.
And but it didn't seem, even though it's animated and cartoony and certain bits clearly aimed at the kid market, largely
maybe not adult, but certainly teenager plus in terms of content and tone. It's at times quite dark.
Yeah, I thought surreal.
Surreal,
dark,
and with references that kids wouldn't get. You've got sort of the attack from the air with Ride of the Valkyries, which is an Apocalypse Now reference they won't get. Rango himself is modelled after... I didn't get this until someone put the next side by side. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, poster for that.
Exactly.
He's got sort of the weird crick in his neck.
Yeah.
And the lizard has that same crick in his neck.
And the whole plot's based on Chinatown.
Yes.
And so there's all these...
And there's a Clint Eastwood reference.
Yeah, which, from A Fistful of Dollars. I mean, it's not even... things like Toy Story pitch themselves at, adults as well, but it's got references in the adults will get, or jokes they'll get, and the kids might not. But this one not only was going for the adult market, it was going for the really obscure adult market who have seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Chinatown, and Fistful of Dollars, which is not every adult, I don't think.
But I think I think kids will get it nonetheless. It's not like they'll miss out on anything. Mm. But it's...
I don't know, though. I was... I mean, we was watching it with very young babies who just don't even get it at all.
Also, Joseph not seen The Fistful of the Dollars.
He has not, unfortunately. No, I know, I should have. He's only seen, what was the other one?
He's seen Chinatown he's seen the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
No, he's seen The King's Speech and Speed 2 Cruise Control. Oh, the only three films he's seen. It's wrong.
At least that averages out at kind of normal.
About normal, less, yeah. I think, yeah. But I do generally think that younger kids would actually be quite scared by it.
Yeah,
I
that is true. I don't think it is
scary,
a younger kids film. It's certainly an older, I mean, you know, kids or young, or medium age will be fine, and then teenagers not.
It's a PG, I think, is it?
Probably. I think it should be. I'd be thinking
sort of 10 plus, maybe.
For, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not 12 worthy, but yeah, it's not.
Just some of the scenes and some of the characters in it were quite
very early on.
Repulsive,
they're quite realistic. Look, they're not sort of cuddly. Kind of, oh yeah, it's a Mr. Hedgehog in the West.
Exactly.
It's like he looks like a mean, grizzled,
a mangy sort of mangy mole.
And all the animals in it are quite damaged, and he meets one armadillo quite early on who's been run over by a car, and it's not like he's got things spilling out of him, but he looks like he's been run over by a car.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you think, right, that's not really. Yeah. You won't be getting the kid's toy of that character.
No, exactly.
But it works in the film. It's just, it's an odd film, and it goes a bit trippy at times as well. But it works. I really enjoyed it a lot.
It grew on me.
It's just a weird one to try and pitch to people, because if you say, it's an animated Western about a lizard, the mental image you'll get of what that film will be is not accurate. You'll be thinking Pixar makes...
No.
Animated film, and it's not that.
I think there's a point when they're doing Ride of the Valkyries and there are moles on the back of bats playing ukuleles or banjos while swooping in.
And exploding and
things. And just you think, this is odd. This is an odd film.
Yeah.
This is not quite normal. So it was unusual, I thought, for that. But it took a while to grow on me, I think. The first third of the film, I really wasn't sure about it because it didn't have much of a plot. It was kind of Rango going from place to place. It was just about this guy roaming for a long time. It took a long time for the plot to get going. And
so he sort of stumbles into town and becomes an accidental hero.
He just met people randomly, and it would be him having a little encounter with that person and then with that person.
Mm.
And I thought, is this going to go anywhere? It took a long time, I thought, to get going. When it did, I thought it was all right. It was pretty good going. And it had certainly had its own very unique voice.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's trying to copy the Pixar way of doing things, or like the DreamWorks, because DreamWorks occasionally get stick for kind of being Pixar light.
Yeah,
and it's certainly not that. It definitely strikes out its own thing, which may not work for everyone, but at least they're doing their own thing.
Yeah, but very adult vocabulary. I thought it was sort of jokes about, I don't know, really obscure things of. I like puzzles. I was solving a mammogram the other day. It was, anyone under about 18 may know that. Then on to the next joke. And it's not like that's just what the one or two or three references in the whole film that are a bit more aimed at the grown-ups. That's one of about 100 in the film that are aimed at the grown-ups.
Yeah, so. there's sequence where I think it's when they get together a posse and sort of ride out into the desert, and there are people they're sort of sitting around discussing one line which just amused me. Someone saying this guy looking very grizzled. And you say, one time I threw up a whole Dalmatian. And it's just completely surreal. And then it sort of more follows on from that. It's just an utterly surreal line.
Is that about the spinal cord getting stuck in his fecal matter?
Yes.
And that's a direct quote. And you think,
really? Yeah, and it's very odd. It's not, but I'm pleased it exists. It's not the sort of film I would have thought would be necessarily an easy sell.
It looks like whoever's written it has handed in the first draft and just had it accepted. It looks like it's the sort of... There's about 50 lines in there.
But not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way, no, but in that he's got his own idea.
Yes.
He thinks, right,
it doesn't look like it's been sort of executive sanitised.
Exactly, studios then come along and go, you can't have that, you can't say that,
yeah, let's put a silly hat on him, let's make him not be run over by a car.
Mm.
Let's make everyone look a bit cuddlier and friendlier.
Exactly. With an eye on the marketing and all that.
Yeah.
But instead they've just gone, yeah, make it.
Let's not make the rattlesnake basically terrifying.
It's, quite frightening, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Well,
it's Gore Verbinski directed it. He was also the Pirates of the Caribbean films, didn't he? So he's,
and apparently directed it because it's Industrial Light and Magic animated the whole thing, and they normally just do effects rather than animated films, so they sort of brought their own way of doing things to it. And I think he directed it in quite a real style.
Right.
As in they sort of set up virtual sets for him and he sort of moved the camera around, which I don't think apparently is how you normally animate films.
Okay.
So I think the end result is definitely unique. May not be to all tastes,
no,
but
I think
it's certainly interesting.
To a certain taste.
Yes, and I liked it a lot.
No, very good. And it stars Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
So,
as a result,
Desert Island Flicks, best Johnny Depp film. Will it be Rango? No. But will it be another film?
But, he's good. Yes. But it's just not an obviously Johnny Depp film.
Yeah.
See, now if Jen was here, she would probably say Pirates of the Caribbean just because him as Jack Sparrow makes her feel funny.
If Jen was here, she'd probably say, ah, my ears and toes! They're in pieces!
Why are you boxing up? It's in my anatomy.
Boxing Jenny.
I've never seen Boxing Elena.
I have.
Really? Yeah. Is it as terrible as people say?
Pretty much.
Yeah, fair enough. That's why the sequel of Boxing Jenny never quite got made.
So, Desert Island Flicks, yes, best Johnny Depp film. Well, there's many to choose from.
Well, true. See, my instinct initially was just to go Edward Scissorhands, sort of straight in with that. And that is still definitely up there. Mm. But then looking down his body of work...
Mm. Jenny would love to look up and down his body of work.
Yes. But there's one other one which I grabbed just because it's slightly less well-known, which is Benny and June.
Ah, Benny and June.
Yes, which is... And it's him demonstrating a tremendous amount of physical comedy and physical performance, really. And it's him... I think he... I can't remember his character's name, actually, because he is neither Benny nor June. But it's... Benny is the father of... Or no, like the elder brother, I think, of June. June is a slightly mentally disabled woman. Who, or sort of emotionally disturbed more than mentally disabled.
He's Sam.
Sam. How's it? And so, her brother looks after her and makes sure she's okay, but she sort of wants a degree of independence and meets Johnny Depp, who has a love of silent film and sort of acts out a lot of sort of Buster Keaton stuff very well. And then, you know, it's how it all works out between them all. But it's a very, touching and funny at times film, and he does brilliantly in it. So I'm going to go with that because I love
it. A good choice. I'm looking down the list here. The Fast Show. When he's in the Seducer. Very good in that. Very good in that. Vicar of Dibley. He was very good in the comic relief
Special
of that.
Are you looking at not at the films, though?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'm going to go for Ed Wood. He's very good in Ed Wood as Ed Wood.
Yes.
And, it's just a very good film. Tim Burton. He does this gleeful... wonderful character.
Yeah, commits to it wholeheartedly.
Totally commits to it. He does seem to commit to every role.
Is it, it's not Walter Matthau, isn't it? It is...
It's him, isn't it? Else. It's the Dracula fella.
Yes.
Yeah, but, him.
Hang on. No, it's not Bela Lugosi, though, because he's someone playing Bela Lugosi.
Martin Landau. Didn't even look, but well, Martin Landau.
Anyway. That's also one of the very few Tim Burton films not scored by Danny Elfman.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That
I think essentially at that point in time, they basically said they just happened to be a bit sick of each other. So right, we've done everything together. I don't know if it was a falling out or something, but they thought, right, enough's enough. I'm going to do someone else. And then he went straight back to Danny Elfman and they've been together ever since.
Exactly. Oh, beautiful.
It was. That's your last.
Good. Well, that'll wrap us up, I think, for this time.
Yes.
So, thank you for listening. Do email in. Sorry, it's been a bit all over the place, but actually, I'm not sorry because that's how we roll.
Well, we've enjoyed it, and hopefully, you've enjoyed the freewheeling boredom.
And Jenny will be back not next week.
No, she's not next week. No, but some of that, I'm sure. Yeah, we'll try and stick her fingers back on, glue her ears on somewhere.
So, in the meantime, your emails are almost welcome. Most welcome. podcast@moviebanter.co.uk. And on Twitter, /@moviebanter.
Yes.
Also, at the movie timeline. At movie timeline, not the
right.
It's not there.
Oh, see, that's confusing, though, because the website's the movie timeline.
I know, but you can't have it that long. The Twitter moniker's got to be shorter than that. So it's
movie
the movie timeline.
I see. In fact, when I looked at it this morning, that was the most recent tweet.
Oh, there's that right. We also would like to welcome your emails on... we're piecing together the perfect movie. And we'll speak more of this next time. But we know so far it starts with the word once, and it's got a car crash and a car chase in it. And we want you to add other elements.
Yeah.
And
slowly but surely, over the next 433,000 centuries, exactly. We're going to add a word to
pretty
each.
Pretty much.
Each.
It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be amazing.
Yes.
So just and add your contributions.
And also, we're on Facebook, which I think you mentioned.
Oh, we're on Facebook
as well. Yes. Which exists.
Exactly.
We never really do much with it. We should post things people can post things to us and other stuff. And it works your bug movies online. I'm also on Movie Mistakes.
There you are.
Twitter Movie Mistakes or Facebook Movie Mistakes or moviemistakes.com.
Good.
Right,
all
that's enough self-whoring.
We've got to crack on then because we've got to go and update our Twitter feeds and Facebook
that's
things.
That's true, otherwise everyone will get very
confused. I haven't got time for dinner. God, it's crazy. It's social media. Good, right, we'll bid you farewell and speak to you another time.
Have a good 2 weeks. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.